Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you for joining with us as we worship today on this audio recording of our service. This is recorded before Sunday, and if you're listening to it before Sunday, you're very welcome to come and join us this week at 11 a.m. or indeed any week. I'm going to be on holiday for the next two Sundays, and it's likely that there won't be a podcast or a telephone line. If I can possibly manage to get something onto the telephone line for those two Sundays, I will, but it will be a previous service that I'll be putting on for you to listen to again. With being on holiday, internet connection may not be too clever, and therefore I may not be able to do it, but normal service will resume again on Sunday the 25th of July. A couple of announcements today. First of all, Keswick at Port Stewart is not taking place in Port Stewart this year, but it's virtually online from Sunday the 11th through to Thursday the 15th of July. And there are evening celebrations available on the website, 7:30 p.m. each evening. If you don't have internet, why not try and find someone who does and go and watch it with them, keeping social distance and following all the rules. Then also, there are drive-in events taking place this next week. Round at the pits, the Faith Mission have their gospel truck, which is a new truck which they have kitted out to allow them to do drive-in services. They're going to be taking place at the pits from Monday the 5th through to Friday the 9th of July. Each evening there are special singers and also a special speaker. Tomorrow evening, Monday the 5th of July, speaker is the Reverend Eric Stewart. That's at 8 o'clock each evening, round at the pits, from Monday to Friday, 5th to 9th of July. So do go to that if you can. So let's worship God together. And I want to begin by just reading to you from Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let's come before God and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, your living word. And we ask now, Lord, that Jesus may dwell in us as we come to this time of worship, that we would know your presence and your help and your strength, that we'd know your guidance. And help us then, Lord, as we worship you, as we read your word, as we sing hymns and songs, and as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, may we come to you with gratitude in our hearts, honouring your holy name, for we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point in our service, we'd be singing, Lord, I would own your tender care, and all your love I see, the food I eat, the clothes I wear, are all your gift to me. Lord, you preserve my life from death and dangers every hour. I cannot draw another breath unless you give me power. Such goodness, Lord, and constant care a child cannot repay, but may it be my daily prayer to love you and obey. And now Terry McMullen is going to bring to us a report on overseas mission work from our Presbyterian Church. And then we're going to read God's word. And then Terry is going to lead us in prayer. So thank you, Terry.
Good morning, everyone. Today I want to concentrate on our global mission workers serving in our partner churches in Kenya and Malawi in East and Central Africa. Kenya. The population of Kenya, which was 12 million in 1970, rose to 55 million in last year. And this has been a tremendous challenge to the government and to the churches. Kenya is host to refugees from several surrounding nations and has had to deal with terrorist attacks in its east coast and northern areas. The Presbyterian Church in East Africa, PCEA, has a Christian community of about 9 million people, but the church is strongest in the central area among the Kikuyu people. PCI has 3 global mission workers who are serving the people of Kenya. Stephen and Angelina Cowan have been working in Tum among the Samburu people for 32 years. Tum is a remote area in northern Kenya, and one of my journeys with Stephen from Nairobi took us 16 hours to reach our destination, a matter of 200 miles. Several churches have been planted in Tum and the surrounding areas and are being led by locally trained evangelists. Stephen's main work is through the staff training and monthly Bible teaching seminars, and these aim to teach the participants that God's word should influence every aspect of their lives. Tum Girls Secondary School was established 12 years ago, and 3 of their Form 4 leavers have enrolled in a 3-month discipleship program in Nairobi, which will equip them to serve Jesus Christ in whatever part of Kenya they work when they have completed their education. Stephen is planning to resume the monthly senior and junior youth camps, and these are a means of spreading the gospel to a rising generation. Cara and Jason Cowan are in universities in the UK, and Anissa is in a boarding school in Kenya doing her A levels. Gary and Mary Reed and their family have been at home since March of last year, but hope to return to Kenya in August or September. They have been working in the Narok district among the Maasai people, who are also pastoralists, since 2005. Over the years, congregations have been established and worship leaders trained to gather people together for worship and to preach and teach the gospel. Gary and Mary handed over the 2 congregations to the local presbytery, and the Reverend Jonathan Ole Mapena was appointed to be the pastor in this very large parish area. Gary and Mary are very encouraged that members of the church are travelling to another area to encourage the believers there, and with the Reverend Jonathan are planning to construct a church for these believers. Gary and Mary are thankful that they are now seeing the Lord blessing the Maasai people and establishing his church in this needy area. When they return to Kenya, God willing, they expect to start an outreach work with the local believers to another group of the Maasai people. Timothy, Jonathan and Ruth Reed are all in the United Kingdom working or studying, and Samuel expects to return to the Rift Valley Academy in Nairobi to commence his A-level year. Naomi Martin served in Malawi from 1991, and in 1999 she went to the PCEA and has served in the Teacher Training College, in Children's Ministry, and since 2011 in the Christian Education Department of the PCEA. She is the coordinator of a 6-person writing team, and they have completed 2 sets of lessons for vacation Bible schools and are currently planning 2 more sets of lessons in the future. She married Thomas Larimore in 2007, and they have 2 children, Silas and Aaron, who are receiving their education in schools in Nairobi. Turning to Malawi, Volker and Jinyog Glissman continue to serve. Volcker in the work of theological education by extension, and Jin Yeok teaching music in Phoenix School. The family are thankful to God that they have received their permits to remain in the UK under the European Union resettlement scheme. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland supports the work of Scripture Union and the Student Christian Organisation in Malawi. The Presbyterian Church is responsible. The Presbyterian Church in Malawi is responsible for children's and youth work in their own areas, and this is a real challenge to the churches, since the population of Malawi has risen from 5 million to 20 million in the last 50 years. In Malawi, half of the population, that is 10 million people, are under the age of 18, but only about 2 million of those are in any form of education. Scripture Union, whose national director is Amon Chanika, has established Bible clubs run by Christian teachers in well over 2,000 primary schools. And many children are responding to the gospel and learning what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Scripture Union produces Bible study notes in the two national languages and in English, and their staff will go to the rural areas to train Christians in the study of God's Word. Amon is responsible for the overall direction of SU's ministry in Malawi. The Student Christian Organisation in Malawi, SCOM, is responsible for presenting the gospel to students in secondary schools, colleges and universities in Malawi, and for the training of associates who will visit the branches of SCOM in the institutions in their area. Samuel Mayuni, who studied at Belfast Bible College, has been the training officer in the northern region for 10 years, and he is responsible for the branches of SCOM in the northern region. A few weeks ago, the universities and colleges held their first conference since lockdown in Livingstonia, and it was a real encouragement to all who attended.
Thank you, Terry. Now let's read from God's Word together, James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Amen. Now Terry McMullen is going to lead us in prayer for Overseas Global Mission.
Let us pray. Please pray for Stephen and Angelina Cowan as they continue to serve the Samburu people through their staff training and monthly Bible teaching seminars. Pray also for Gary and Mary Reed as they return to their church family in Kenya, and especially for the widows and orphans in Maasai land. Pray also for Naomi Larimore as she works with the writing team in the production of further lessons for the Vacation Bible Schools. Pray also for Volker and Jin Yeok Glissman and their family, working in TEE throughout Southern Africa, and pray for the family in university in the UK and secondary school in Blantyre. Pray for the work of the Presbyterian congregations, Scripture Union and SCOM in presenting the gospel to children, young people, and communities of people in Malawi. We ask, gracious God, that you would grant your blessing to all of the work in these two countries, for the churches there, for their governments, and all who need to hear your word in the coming days. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I'm going to let you into a little secret today. I've got a dream job that if I wasn't a minister, this is the job that I would love to do. I really do dream sometimes about it and what it would be like doing this job. I'd love to be the ball collector on a golf course at a driving range. I would accept driving a lawnmower on the fairways each day, but the ball collecting would certainly be my preference. Now, maybe you think I've gone a little mad, but hear me out. I think there'd be a tremendous sense of satisfaction. You'd start the day with the balls scattered all over the range, and you'd set off methodically driving back and forth, and when you'd finished, the grass would be clear, and you would have all the balls accounted for. The job would be done, finished, complete, satisfied. You see, sometimes in ministry, you never know when you are done. In fact, you always think that there's much more you could be doing than what you have managed to do. And James here is reaching the end of his letter. And I think there's a sense of, how do I end this? I better wrap it up well. I better leave them with some important advice, something that will impact their lives. And I have a picture of James putting down his quill or pen and saying, job done. This is what they need to keep persevering in the faith. So as we reach the end of this letter of James today, we're asking, how do you cope from now on? How do you cope from this point with the rest of life? How do you take what James has offered us and live it out in our lives? So James gives some advice, and most of it centres around prayer. And he begins by saying to them, respond to all situations with prayer. These Christians are going to have to cope from now on without James. They're going to have to stand on their own two feet, and because they're scattered, James may not be able to make contact with them again. So he leaves them with the best thing that he has, prayer. This is what they are to do, no matter what the circumstances. James is saying, respond to all situations with prayer. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And you see, this is important information. This will see them through whatever comes their way. Life is going to be unpredictable. Up until a few months ago, they were all together. Now they're scattered. You cannot predict what will happen. So in times of trouble, pray. And in good times, sing praise. James has actually been building up to this point the whole way through the letter. Here he is returning to this theme of speech. What better way to make sure that your words are right than to pray and to sing praise? It's very hard to slander someone when you're genuinely praying for them. It's hard to be bitter about someone when you're singing God's praises with them. So James says, respond to all situations with prayer. Secondly, James moves a little deeper into this whole idea of prayer. And he says, respond to sickness with prayer. And it's a very specific type of prayer that he mentions. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. The elders of this church are very faithful in prayer. We, the members of the church, should be very thankful for the elders, and not just the elders, but everyone who meets week by week to pray. There have been many things that we have not been able to do during the various lockdowns, but we have been able to pray. Every week there's a small but dedicated group of people who pray. We've been meeting remotely via Zoom each Wednesday, and in the beginning the technology was a challenge, but we have prayed. We've prayed for the members of the congregation who are in need, members of the congregation who are struggling, members of the congregation who are ill, and indeed not just members of the congregation, but anyone who requests a prayer, we have prayed for. It always amazes me that more people do not join us to pray, especially at the moment whenever we're online, you don't even have to leave home. And therefore any perceived embarrassment is removed. But it amazes me even more that we do not receive more requests for prayer. These people dedicate their time week by week to praying. If you ask them, they will pray for you. And that's a real privilege to have a group of people at your disposal like that. If you're not confident at praying, they are also a great resource to learn how to pray. Now, verse 15 is a verse that raises expectations and is often quoted on its own and taken out of context. It does mean that we should ask boldly for God to heal. As James has said, sometimes we do not have because we have not asked. James 4, you desire but do not have, so you kill, you covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So we're to ask boldly in a prayer of faith. Not just a couple of weeks, but just a couple of weeks ago, we saw that we should not make plans about without consulting God. We saw in chapter 4, verse 15, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. So our bold prayer of healing is to be set in this context. We believe that God can do anything we ask him and much more besides. But we also acknowledge that God can do whatever he wants. The third instruction that James gives us again centres around prayer. This time a prayer of confession. It is vitally important that we confess our sins. So we are to respond to sin with confession. Confession is not just about naming our sins and then getting on with life and doing what we want to do. Confession is deep, deep sorrow about our sin. James has already told us in the passage, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. This is the correct response to sin. It's not enough to say sorry whenever we're caught out. It's important that we have a true mourning over the sin, that we do not see how quickly we can get back to normal, but that we truly grieve what we have done to God, that we wail about what we have done to our friends and family. James even warns that when it comes to a lack of healing, we need to be careful that sin is not the reason that the blessing has not come. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession results in salvation. So why wouldn't we admit when we are wrong if salvation and redemption of the Lord is ours whenever we do? The fourth piece of advice that James leaves with his scattered congregation again centres around prayer. Respond to the impossible with prayer. James knows that there is much that these Christians will face that is impossible. They will be stretched beyond their limits. They will be tested in ways that they never imagined. And he's saying to them, when things seem impossible, pray. And what better advice could we have when a loved one is spiritually lost and they seem so far away from God with no hope of return? Pray. When there is illness or disease with little chance of recovery, pray. When the world is full of pressure and it seems overwhelming, pray. James doesn't just give us the theory of prayer. He points us to the example of someone who prayed for the impossible. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, he says. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. We may consider Elijah to be a great prophet. We may think that he has spiritual superpowers, but James points out that this great prophet was a human being just like us. His superpower was prayer. Elijah didn't declare that there would be no rain. He prayed, and when the time was right, he then prayed again for the rain to return. It was all dependent on God. And James is saying, when you face the impossible, pray. One final piece of advice that James leaves with his scattered congregation may not appear to be about prayer, but we quickly see that it is reliant on prayer. James is saying, respond to the spiritually lost with compassion. There might be a tendency in these days of persecution for the church to focus on itself, but James is reminding them what it is like to bring someone to faith in Christ. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Faith is not just a matter of life and death, it is a matter of eternal life. We should never forget that whatever our circumstances, there are those around us who are lost, truly lost. It's not just that they are missing out on Jesus, but they are lost and they will never find their way to heaven on their own. We've got the answer to their problem. We know the way, and the way is not some complicated theology that we need to explain. The way is simply Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. James encourages us to respond to the lost with compassion, to pray for them and to bring them to the kingdom. So to sum up quickly, James has one plan for the scattered church, and he leaves it with them and with us at the end of this letter. Pray. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for the wonderful gift that we have in prayer. And we ask now that you would be with us and guide us in our prayers day by day, that we would remember the needs of others and that we would bring them to you. So Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. At this point in the service, we would sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And what a wonderful hymn that is. So let's pray together in the benediction. Now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.